بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. This will be a recording of the PDF file that's titled 47 More Common Verbs and Sample Sentences for Each. This is a 9-page PDF file. In this recording, I'm going to go through each of the sentences in this file, read each of the sentences along with their meanings, and if there was anything that I needed to point out, then I will. But because it's a very long file document, I'm going to go through the meanings and the reading quite quickly. However, I would recommend you, before you come to this, of course, to go through the other document that's titled Past Tense Verbs for He, You and Me, as well as the other 22 verbs that we have done before this. Also, when you come to this, if there's meaning of any of the verbs or new words that you're not aware of, then make sure to go to page 8 and 9 of this document to find the two tables with meanings of the verbs and the words, and the nouns, I mean. Also, it's recommended to do this after lesson 11 or 12 of the Tadribat book, the textbook for this Arabic course, because that's the level that you're expected to know, and that's the vocabulary that you expected to know before you come to this, and also the previous audio files, as well as the documents, text documents before this. Now, beginning from the top on page 1, as I said, I'm going to read through the sentences reasonably quickly, translate them, and if there was anything that was new that I had to mention, then I'll mention it. Otherwise, go through it reasonably quickly, such that it does not take a very long time, since there are many sentences. This file, mind you, is extremely important, because these 47 verbs, plus the 22 verbs you've done before, together, all of these verbs are very commonly used in the Arabic language, and if you memorize the meanings of these verbs and know how to use them in a sentence, then you'll be able to speak quite well, at least in past tense for now, the Arabic language for your daily usage. Later on we'll do present tense verbs, or we'll do fi'l mudari'. However, if you've done this well, fi'l mudari' later will be easier. That's why make sure you do this well, and for doing this well, it's very important that you read through this document a number of times. Because to sit and memorize 47 verbs, you may be able to do it, but if you went through the sentences, you'll not only memorize how the verb sounds, and also its meaning, but you will also memorize in what context the verbs are used, and what harful jar comes with a particular verb. That's why I can't overemphasize the importance of going through each of these sentences, not just once, but repeatedly reading them through this 9-page document. And as I said, even if you have memorized them, do go back and read these, because it would help you to make your own sentences. Also, what would help you is once you've read through the document a few times, you could look at each verb and see the different ways sentences are made in these 9 pages. And then, as you go through each verb, try making other sentences using the same verb yourself. Try to make as not only one or two sentences, but as many sentences as you can using the verbs that appear in these 7 pages out of the 9-page document. Beginning with the first of the sentence, the new verb that's introduced here is qala, and qala is extremely commonly used in the Arabic language. It's also very common in the Quran, and it's also very common in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, as well as in our daily speech. Qala, of course, is a past tense verb, and it means he said. Qala means he said. For me, we say qultu. Qultu, I said. And for you, you say qulta. And for she, you would say qalat. Let's have a look at the sentences, and inshallah I will not spend too much time, but read them along with their meanings, because if you've done the other documents before this and their audio, you would know all the grammar that concerns this particular document of the 47 verbs. Therefore, I will not be explaining the grammar here, but simply go through the reading, their meanings, and if there was anything that was new here that was not dealt with before. The first sentence, قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ لِلطَّالِبِ أَنْتَ طَالِبٌ ذَكِيٌّ قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ لِلطَّالِبِ أَنْتَ طَالِبٌ ذَكِيٌّ It's important to notice with the verb qala that after the qala, as usual, you would mention the fa'il, the doer of the action with a dhamma on top of it. But qala, if you're trying to say he said to another person, then when you mention that other person's name, before that you mention the harful jar li, as you see, li talibi. So qala would come with the harful jar li for the person who you are talking to. قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ لِلطَّالِبِ And after that comes what exactly he said, which is أَنْتَ طَالِبٌ ذَكِيٌّ There's no need for quotation marks, and that's the reason I didn't put quotation marks in the first few sentences, but I did put it after that for one or two sentences, just to show to you that sometimes they do appear in the books. However, quotation marks are something that I used recently for further clarification, but in reality you would not find them in older books. And there is really not much need for it. It's up to you whether you use it or not, but it has no effect on the Arabic grammar or the meaning of the sentence. قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ لِلطَّالِبِ أَنْتَ طَالِبٌ ذَكِيٌّ The teacher said to the student, You are an intelligent student. ذَكِيٌّ means smart or intelligent. قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ لِلطَّالِبِ أَنْتَ طَالِبٌ ذَكِيٌّ The teacher said to the student, You are a smart student. You are an intelligent student. قال المسلم الجديد لقومه محمد رسول الله. قال المسلم الجديد, the new Muslim said, لقومه, to his people or to his nation, محمد رسول الله. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. قلت للمسلم الجديد أنت أخي في الإسلام قلت للمسلم الجديد I said للمسلم الجديد to the new Muslim أنت أخي في الإسلام You are my brother in Islam You are my brother in Islam The fourth sentence لماذا قلت لي دخل المدرس الملعب لماذا قلت لي دخل المدرس الملعب Here, لماذا why قلت with a fatha at the end قلت means you said لماذا قلت why did you say لي to me حرف الجر لي and يا for me لماذا قلت لي why did you say to me دخل المدرس الملعب the teacher entered the playground قالت المدرسة sentence 5 قالت المدرسة للطالبة أنت طالبة ذكية قالت المدرسة للطالبة أنت طالبة ذكية قالت she said المدرسة is the فاعل the teacher so قالت المدرسة the teacher said للطالبة to the female student أنت طالبة ذكية You are a smart student You are an intelligent student Notice how ذكية In the first sentence we have ذكي for male In the fifth sentence we have ذكية with a circular ta added at the end for a female Sentence number 6 قلت للضيف الكريم مرحبا بك قلت للضيف الكريم مرحبا بك قلت you said notice the ta at the end of the verb with a kasra that's for you قلت you said للضيف الكريم to the noble guest مرحبا بك مرحبا welcome بك to you مرحبا always stays as it is with two fatha at the end because that is a masdar And the rest of its rules will do it sometime in the future in its own place, inshallah. But for now, it's enough to know that commonly you would say marhaban bika, meaning welcome to you. Notice in these six sentences, qala, he said, qultu, I said, قلت, you said, قالت, she said, and قلت, you said for a female person that you're speaking to. Of course, قلت is I said, whether it's a male or a female speaking. These are the variations for I, you, male, female, and for he or she. In the verbs that follow, I'm not going to mention each and every one of these, but I'll try to mention in each of the ones that follow, at least he said, and I said, and you said, or she said. And of course, for you and you, male or female, you simply change the fatha or kasra. And for you, as opposed to I, you simply change the dhamma to fatha for you. Sentence number 7. 7 to 10 use a new verb, madaha. Madaha means he praised someone else. Madaha, he praised someone else. Usually, hamida, you would use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can use it for people as well. Hamida, which we had done in the previous document before, in the new verbs before, hamida comes with the meaning of praising and thanking. Madaha comes with the meaning of praising only. Madaha at-tabibu al-mariida. Madaha fi'l madi. At-tabibu is the fa'il with the dhamma, doer of the action. Al-mariida is the maf'ulun bihi, the one on whom the action of being praised was done upon, and that has a fatha. Madaha at-tabibu al-mariida. The doctor praised the sick person. The doctor praised the patient. Madaha at-tabibu al-mariida ala sabrihi. The doctor praised the patient over his patience. The doctor praised the ill person over his patience. This sentence, I put it there to show to you that we can use the same sentence as in 7, but extend the sentence with a harf al-jar ala, meaning you praise the person and then you use ala to say you praise the person for what? The doctor praised the ill person over the over his patience. Sentence 9 shows it for a female. She praised. مدحت الأستاذة البنت على حفظها. مدحت الأستاذة. The female teacher praised البنت. The female teacher praised the girl or the daughter على حفظها. The female teacher praised the girl over her memory. مدحت البنت على قراءتها. I praised the girl or I praised the daughter over her recitation. قِرَاءَةٌ recitation, قِرَاءَتِهَا her recitation. I praised the girl or I praised the daughter over her recitation. Sentence 11 introduces a new verb, أَرَادَ. أَرَادَ means he wanted to. أَرَادَ means he wanted to. Later on we see that the verb أَرَادَ comes after that, after the mention of the fi'l, it comes with a word an and another verb after that. Or instead, we use a masdar, a noun masdar. At the moment, we will use the masdar noun as maf'ulun bihi because we haven't yet done the other rules that I pointed out to just now. أراد الولد in sentence 11. أراد الولد حفظ سورة البقرة. أراد الولد, the boy wanted, حفظ سورة البقرة. The boy wanted the memorizing of the Surah of Baqarah. حفظ مفعول به means the memorizing. And that's مضاف. And سورة is مضاف إليه. And سورتي is مضاف to the word after it again. And that's البقرة which is مضاف إليه. أراد الولد حفظ سورة البقرة. The boy wanted to memorize the Surah of Baqarah. The rules of this sentence of مضاف مضاف إليه etc. We have already done them earlier. So if you need any help with that, you could go back to those. Sentence 12. أردت الذهاب إلى المدرسة. أردت الذهاب إلى المدرسة. I wanted to go to the school. Aradtu, arada, he wanted. Aradtu, I wanted. Aradtu dhahaba, I wanted a dhahab. And what did I want? The thing I wanted is maf'ulun bihi, therefore it has a fatha. And here the maf'ulun bihi that I wanted is a dhahab. A dhahab means to go to. Aradtu al-dhahaba ila al-madrasati, I wanted to go to the school. 13. Aradtu al-khuruja min al-dukkani. Aradtu al-khuruja min al-dukkani. I wanted to exit from the shop. Aradtu, I wanted. Al-khuruja is maf'ulun bihi with a fatha, meaning to exit. I wanted to exit from the shop. 14. Aradat al-talibatu الذهاب إلى الحمام. أرادت الطالبة الذهاب إلى الحمام. The female student wanted to go to the bathroom. أرادت is for she wanted. And who is she? It is mentioned immediately after with a dhamma, the fa'il الطالبة. The female student wanted to go to the bathroom. Sentence 15. احتاج المهندس إلى السيارة. The new verb is احتاج. احتاج means he needed. This is one of the most commonly used verbs. Again, احتاج, he needed. احتجت, I needed. احتاجت, she needed. احتجت, you needed. And احتجت, you needed for a female person. احتاج المهندس إلى السيارة. The engineer needed a car, needed the car. Notice that احتاج, the verb, comes with the حرف الجر إلى, for whatever you need. So the object that you need, before that you mention إلى. When you're translating in English, you don't always say the engineer needed to the car, but in Arabic you do say إلى. It's just a حرف الجر that comes with the verb احتاج. احتاج المهندس إلى السيارة. The engineer wanted, the engineer needed the car. Sentence 16. احتاج المهندس إلى السيارة للذهاب إلى المسجد. The engineer needed the car to go to the masjid. Notice this sentence 16 I'm extending from 15 with the حرف الجر لي, to show that you can use a basic sentence with احتاج with إلى, meaning the engineer needed the car. But why did he need the car? For why, you can extend it, the sentence further, with the حرف الجر لي. احتاج المهندس إلى السيارة للذهاب إلى المسجد. The engineer needed the car to go to the masjid. Sentence 17. احتجت إلى النظارة لقراءة السبورة. احتجت إلى النظارة لقراءة السبورة. احتجت, I needed, إلى النظارة, the glasses. I needed the glasses. النظارة is eyeglasses, spectacles. I needed the glasses لقراءة السبورة. لي, for, قراءة, reading, السبورة, the board. I needed the glasses to read the board. Sentence 18. احتاجت الأم إلى السيارة للذهاب إلى السوق. احتاجت الأم, the mother needed, إلى السيارة, the mother needed the car, للذهاب إلى السوق, to go to the market. So pay attention that the verb احتاج, it needs a حرف جر إلى to say what you needed. As for why you needed, you use another حرف الجر لي. Sentence 19. احتجت إلى القلم الجديد في صالة الامتحان. احتجت إلى القلم الجديد في صالة الامتحان. I needed the new pen in the exam, in the examination hall. Sala, Salatun means a hall or a lounge. Salatul imtihan Imtihan means examination or exam. Salatul Imtihan means the hall of the exam, examination hall. Ihtajtu ila al-qalam al-jadidi, I needed the new pen for the examination room, in the examination room. Sentence 20. In sentence 20, there is no verb ihtaja. However, I'm showing in sentence 20 and 21 that at times you don't use the verb ihtaja. Instead, you use its noun. When you're using its noun hajatun, hajatun means a need. When you use its noun hajatun, you often use the harful jar li. So we see in sentence 20, li hajatun ila qalamin jadidin. This is very common in Arabic. You say li hajatun ila sayyaratin. I have a need for a car. The sentence 20 itself means li hajatun ila qalamin jadidin. I have a need of a new pen. I have a need for a new pen. You can make many sentences like this. You can say li hajatun ila sayyaratin. I have a need for a car. Li hajatun ila baytin. I have a need for a house. Li hajatun ila darajatin. I have a need for a car. Li hajatun ila hisanin. I have a need for a horse, and so on. But the important thing is to notice how you make the sentence. You say li hajatun ila, and this is very frequently used in Arabic. Sentence 21. Alaka hajatun ila sayyaratin ya abi. Do you have a need for a car, O my father? Alaka hajatun ila sayyaratin ya abi. Do you have a need for a car, O my father? Sentence 22. سلم الضيف علي وعلى أبي وأمي وأختي ورد الوالد السلام عليه ورددت السلام عليه أيضا وردت الأم السلام عليه وردته الأخت عليه. This sentence, it is long, and I deliberately made it long like this, adding small phrases to it, to show all the different ways we use this verb. We notice two new verbs in sentence 22. Sallama. Sallama means he did salam to. Salam, of course, the greetings of a Muslim. Assalamu alaykum. Assalamu means the peace. And alaykum, ala, on. Kum means you all. Means the peace on you all. Sallama is the verb for it, and it comes with the harful jar ala. So we see sallama dhaifu alayya, meaning the guest did salam. Alayya is ala and ya for I. The guest did salam on me. Wa ala abi, and on my father. Wa ummi, and my mother. Wa ukhti, and my sister. So this means the guest did salam on me and on my father and my mother and my sister. The rest of the sentence reads, وَرَدَّ الْوَالِدُ السَّلَامَ عَلَيْهِ. رَدَّ means to return something. To return something. وَرَدَّ الْوَالِدُ السَّلَامَ عَلَيْهِ means the father returned. What did he return? The thing he returned will be the maf'ulun bihi, and maf'ulun bihi will have a fatha. Here it is as-salam. So, radda al-walidu as-salama alayhi. The father returned the salam on him. The father returned the salam on him. Notice the verb radda. It means to return something. This is different to the verb raja'a that we had done in the previous document. The verb raja'a is when I myself return, or a person himself returns to a place where he began from. But radda is to return an object or return something to someone else. Radda al-walid, this is loosely speaking the difference between the two. Radda is to return something to somebody else. وَرَدَّ الْوَالِدُ السَّلَامَ عَلَيْهِ. The father returned the salam on him. وَرَدَدْتُ السَّلَامَ عَلَيْهِ. Notice, رَدَّ, he returned. رَدَدْتُ, I returned. رَدَّ has ra and dal with a sukun and another dal with a fatha, which combine, the two dal combine to say رَدَّ. The first dal with a sukoon, the second dal with a fatha. Radda. When you add a tu at the end, you split up the two dal and you say radadtu. Just like you would say katabtu, qara'tu, dakhaltu, dhahabtu, you say radadtu. Radadtu as-salama alayhi. I returned the salam on him. Aydan, also. Waraddat al-ummu as-salama alayhi. Waraddat al-ummu, the mother returned as-salama alayhi. The mother returned the salam on him. Raddat, there is no need to split the two dal, so you simply say waraddat al-ummu as-salama alayhi. Waraddathu al-ukhtu alayhi. Waraddathu al-ukhtu alayhi. In this sentence, I'm showing that before we said waraddat al-ummu as-salama, we mentioned the fi'l raddat, then we mentioned the fa'il al-ummu, then we mentioned the maf'ulun bihi as-salama. Now, in this sentence, waraddathu, waraddathu al-ukhtu, notice who is the maf'ulun bihi, meaning it for a male masculine thing, and that is referring to as-salama. وَرَدَّتْهُ الْأُخْتُ, meaning the sister returned it, meaning the sister returned the salam. Now, the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ, the damir, the pronoun who, does not sit by itself alone. It has to be attached to something before it. Therefore, we dragged the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ, who, the pronoun, before the mention of the فاعل الْأُخْتُ. We dragged the who before al-ukht and joined it to the verb because it needs to be joined to something. So we said وَرَدَّتْهُ الْأُخْتُ, meaning the sister returned it. Notice, had you added the who to the word al-ukht, then it would have meant وَرَدَّتْ أُخْتُهُ. أُخْتُهُ means his sister, meaning his sister returned. That is a very different meaning to وَرَدَّتْهُ الْأُخْتُ, meaning the sister returned it, meaning the salam. So pay attention to this point. So you join the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ هُ to the فِعْل, because it's مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ to the فِعْل, and that's why you join it to it. وَرَدَّتْهُ الْأُخْتُ عَلَيْهِ, the sister returned it to him. عَلَيْهِ, on him, meaning on the guest, to the guest. The sister returned the salam to the guest. This is sentence 22. Sentence 23. احتاجت الزميلة إلى قلمها وكتابها. احتاجت الزميلة إلى قلمها وكتابها فردت المدرسة كتابها إليها ورددت قلمها إليها. احتاجت الزميلة means the female colleague needed. احتاجت الزميلة, the colleague needed, إلى قلمها, the colleague needed her pen, her pen. وكتابها, and her book. فردت المدرسة, so, ف means so. ف is like and, و is and ف is so. فردت المدرسة, so the teacher returned كتابها, her book, إليها, to her. So the teacher returned her book to her. ورددت, and I returned قلمها, her pen, إليها, to her. احتاجت الزميلة إلى قلمها, the female colleague needed her pen, وكتابها, and her book. فردت المدرسة كتابها إليها, so the teacher returned her book to her. ورددت قلمها إليها, and I returned her pen to her. Sentence 24. سلمت على الإمام الجديد. I did salam to the new imam. سلمت على الإمام الجديد. I did salam on the new imam. وسلم عليه الوالد أيضا. And The father did the salam on him also. Notice how the verb salama comes with the harf al-jar ala. Who did you do salam to? Before that you put ala. Salamtu, I did salam, ala al-imam al-jadidi, on the new imam. I did salam on the new imam, wa sallama alayhi, and the salam was done to him also, al-walidu, meaning the father did salam to him also, Avon also. Sentence 25, sallamat al-ummu ala walidi, wa radda al-walidu as-salama alayha. Sallamat al-ummu, the mother did salam, ala walidi, on my father. Wa radda al-walidu as-salama alayha, and the father returned the salam on her. Think about these sentences, read them a few times, and try to make other sentences using these verbs of these types yourself. Change the nouns, think of a situation, and describe that situation yourself. So you may say, for example, سلمت الصديقة على زميلتي وردت الزميلة السلام عليها. So make sentences like this by substituting different words in there. And the more you do it, the better it will be for you. Sentence 26 introduces a new verb, which is salla. Salla means he prayed, meaning to offer a prayer, the five times daily prayer. It has other meanings, but for now we'll do salla, he prayed. So the sentence 26 reads, salla at-tajiru fi dukkani. Salla at-tajiru fi dukkani means the businessman prayed in the shop. Salla at-tajiru fi dukkani. Sentence 27 adds a little more to it. It says which prayer he prayed in the shop. And with the prayer that he prayed is the maf'ulun bihi. Therefore it will have a fatha, as you see in sentence 27. Salla at-tajiru salata, salata maf'ulun bihi, and it's mudaf to al-fajri. Salla at-tajiru salata al-fajri fi dukkani. The businessman prayed the prayer of fajr in the shop. Sentence 28 shows how do you say the verb salla for I prayed. Notice for a past tense verb for I did, you add ta with a dhamma at the end. Now, salla at the end has that ya, which is like a alif maqsura. When you add ta with a dhamma at the end, and this ya has no sign on it, it returns to its original ya, and you say sallaytu, sallaytu. So you say sallaytu, that alif maqsura, which original of it is the ya, now returns even in pronunciation to its origin as a ya. But since before the verb for I did, there is the sign before ta, the letter before ta has no sign but just a sukun, therefore the ya has just a sukun. And you say sallaytu, meaning I prayed. For you, you would say sallayta. For female you, sallayti. Salla, sallaytu, sallayta, sallayti. And for she prayed, you would add salla, and you add a ta at the end with a sukun. So salla and ta at the end with a sukun, there is then a sukun on ya, sukun on ta. You can't have two sukuns together, therefore you drop the ya, and you say sallat, sallat, as you see in the beginning of sentence 29. Sallat, she prayed. Let's get back to sentence 22. Sallaytu salat al-fajri fi al-masjidi. I prayed the prayer of fajr in the mosque. Sallaytu salat al-fajri fi al-masjidi. Sentence 29. Sallat at-tabibatu salat al-asri fi al-mustawsafi. Sallat at-tabibatu salat al-asri fi al-mustawsafi. The doctor, the female doctor, prayed the prayer of Asr in her surgery, in her clinic. The doctor, the female doctor, prayed Salat al-Fajr, the prayer of Asr, in her clinic. Try making sentences using the verb salla, salat, salaitu, salaita. Try making sentences yourself again and again in order for you to get used to using this verb. Sentence 30 introduces another new verb, and that is tawadda'a. Tawadda'a means he did wudu. Tawadda'a means he did wudu. Tawadda'a al-imamu lis-salati. Sentence 30. Tawadda'a al-imamu. The imam did the wudu. Lis-salati. For the prayer. The imam did the wudu for the prayer. Sentence 31. Tawadda'a al-imamu fil-masjidi lis-salati. It adds a little bit more information with another harful jar fi. So tawadda al imamu lis salati, the imam prayed, imam did the wudu for the prayer, fil masjidi, in the masjid. You can say fil masjidi lis salati, you can put either of those two before or the after. Tawadda al imamu fil masjidi lis salati, the imam did wudu in the mosque for the prayer. Sentence 31 uses the verb tawadda'a for she did the action. So you say tawadda'at, tawadda'at al-bintu fil masjidi lis-salati. Tawadda'at al-bintu, the girl did the wudu. Fil masjidi, in the mosque, lis-salati, for the prayer. 33. Tawadda'atu fil bayti qabla al-dhahabi ila al-masjidi. Tawadda'atu, I did wudu fil bayti, in the house, qabla, before, and that's mudaf. And because it's a dharf of zaman, it always has a fatha at the end of it. قَبْلَ الذَّهَابِ, before going, إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, to the mosque. تَوَضَّأْتُ فِي الْبَيْتِ, I did wudu in the house. قَبْلَ الذَّهَابِ, before going, إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, to the mosque. تَوَضَّأْتُ فِي الْبَيْتِ, I did wudu in the house. وَذَهَبْتُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, and I went to the mosque. لِصَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ, for the prayer of Isha. Isha is of course the last of the five prayers in the night. تَوَدَّأْتُ فِي الْبَيْتِ وَذَهَبْتُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ لِصَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ. I did the wudu in the house, and then I went to the mosque for the prayer of Isha. Again, you do wudu every day, and you often go to the masjid. So try to describe what you did during your daily lives using these verbs, because it is only in this manner that you start to learn Arabic fluently. Sentence 35 introduces another new verb, which is ghasala. Another verb that is ghasala. Ghasala means he washed something. Ghasala means he washed something, meaning such as you washed a cloth, you washed the table, you washed the bed, you washed a car, and so on. Therefore, ghasala would come with a fa'il, which is the person who did the washing. Then you would mention a maf'ulun bihi with a fatha, which is the object that you washed. Sentence 35, ghasala at-tajiru ad-dukkana bil-ma'i was-sabuni. The businessman washed the shop bil-ma'i, with water, was-sabuni, and soap. The businessman washed the shop with water and soap. Notice, after harf al-jar b, you have al-ma'i. Therefore, al-ma has kasra because ba is harf al-jar and the word after it has kasra. Wa is and, and whatever word comes after and, it takes the sign of the word that is before it. Therefore, we say bil-ma'i was-sabuni with a kasra under sabun. غسل التاجر الدكان بالماء والصابون. The businessman washed the shop with water and soap. Sentence 36. غسلت الثوب في الحمام. غسلت, I washed, الثوب, the cloth, the cloth or the garment that you wear. غسلت الثوب, I washed the garment في الحمام, in the bathroom, or I washed the clothing in the bathroom. Sentence 37. غسلت, meaning she washed. غسلت البنت الدراجة, the girl washed the bicycle. make sentences like this yourself because all the time you wash things around the house. So, for example, during the morning when you go and you wash your hand, say to yourself as practice, غسلت اليد. I washed the hand. And pay attention that you say اليد with a fatha because that's مفعول به. And if you washed your leg, you would say غسلت الرجل. غسلت الرجل. And so on. Sentence 38 introduces a verb that sounds like the previous one but has a different meaning, although they're both related in meaning. The verb is اغتسل. اغتسل. اغتسل means he showered, he took a shower or he took a bath. اغتسل means to take a shower or to take a bath. غسل is to wash something. اغتسل is yourself taking a shower or a bath, or a person himself or herself taking a shower or a bath. اغتسل is that. In Islam, we say al-ghusl. You need al-ghusl for removing janabah, for your purification. That's al-ghusl, that's the noun, and it comes from the verb اغتسل. اغتسل الإمام is sentence 38. Means al-imamu is the fa'il doer of the action of showering or taking a bath. So اغتسل الإمامُ means the imam took a bath or the imam took a shower. 39, sentence 39, اغتسل الإمامُ, same sentence as before, but we're adding some more information to it. This is for me to show to you that you can use a simple sentence اغتسل الإمام اغتسل الولد اغتسل الرجل اغتسلت المدرسة اغتسلت المهندسة and so on, or you can say اغتسلت, but you can extend the sentence by adding, as I'm saying in this sentence in 39, اغتسل الإمام قبل صلاة الجمعة. قبل صلاة الجمعة, قبل before, and that's mudaf. Salati is mudaf ilay. Salati al-jumu'ati, the prayer of Jumu'ah, the prayer of Friday. Ightasal al-imamu qabla salati al-jumu'ati. The imam took a shower before the Friday prayer, or the imam took a bath before the Friday prayer. Sentence 40. Ightasaltu, I took a shower or I took a bath. Ightasaltu fil bayti قبل الذهاب إلى المسجد. I showered in the house before going to the masjid. اغتسلت في البيت قبل الذهاب إلى المسجد. I showered in the house, or I took a bath in the house before going to the masjid. Sentence 41. اغتسلت في الصباح. I took a shower في الصباح, in the morning. الصباح, in the morning. اغتسلت في الصباح, I took a shower in the morning, قبل الذهاب, before going, إلى الجامعة, to the university. This is something you would do all the time. So you could say, اغتسلت في الصباح قبل الذهاب إلى الجامعة, or اغتسلت في الصباح قبل الذهاب إلى العمل, العمل, to your work. Or you can say, اغتسلت في الصباح قبل الذهاب إلى قبل الذهاب للفطور. I showered in the morning before going for the breakfast. اغتسلت في الصباح قبل الذهاب للفطور, before going for the breakfast. Sentence 42. اغتسلت, she took a shower. اغتسلت الممرضة, the female nurse took a shower في البيت, in the house, بعد العمل في المستشفى. بعد, after, العمل is work, the job. So بعد العمل, after the work, في المستشفى, in the hospital. The nurse works in the hospital, so we're saying اغتسلت الممرضة, the nurse took a shower في البيت, in the house, بعد العمل في المستشفى, after the work in the hospital. Notice if you did not use fil bayti, then it would not specify whether she showered in the hospital or in the house. But this way, by saying fil bayti, After the verb ikhtasal, you use fil bayti, so it shows to you that the shower was taken in the house. Ikhtasalat al-mumarridatu fil bayti. The nurse took a bath in the house. Ba'd al-amali fil mustashfa. After the work in the hospital. Sentence 43. Hal ikhtasalta fil suqi ba'd al-amali? Did you shower in the market after your work? هل اغتسلت في السوق بعد العمل؟ Did you shower in the market after the work? So here we're talking about showering in the market itself. And اغتسلت is for you masculine. Sentence 44 introduces a new verb, which is أجاب. We have done the verb سأل in the previous documents. Now we learn sa'ala is to ask or question. Now we learn another verb ajaba. Ajaba is to give an answer. Ajaba, he answered. For I answered, you say ajabtu, ajabtu. For you answered, ajabta or ajabti. Ajaba, ajaba, ajabtu, ajabti. For she answered, you would say ajabat. أجابت. Let's have a look at sentences using this verb. سأل المدرس الطالب سؤالا. The teacher asked the student a question. وأجاب الطالب السؤال. And the student answered the question. So sentence 44 reads, سأل المدرس The teacher asked الطالب, the teacher asked the student سؤالا, a question. وأجاب الطالب, and the student answered السؤال, the question. Notice in the first half of the sentence we said سؤالا without ألف لام. We did that because the teacher asked a question, not the specific question. But in the second half of the sentence we said السؤال, the question, because the student answered the specific question that the teacher had asked. Notice also, su'alan has a alif at the end of lam, and as we had said earlier, that alif simply comes for a noun that is nakira without alif lam, and it has two fatha tanween at the end of the noun. So you put the alif there in such a noun. سأل المدرس الطالب سؤالا وأجاب الطالب السؤال. The teacher asked the student a question and the student answered the question. Sentence 45 shows using the verb أجاب for a female, for she answered. سألت المدرسة الطالبة سؤالا. سألت المدرسة الطالبة سؤالا. The teacher asked the student a question. وأجابت الطالبة السؤال. The female student answered the question. أجابت الطالبة. The female student answered السؤال. The question. She answered the question. سألت المدرسة الطالبة سؤالا. وأجابت الطالبة السؤال. That's sentence 45. Sentence 46 shows saying sa'ala for I, and still shows using ajaba, but it uses a harf al-jar li. Sa'altu al-ustadhata su'alan. Sa'altu al-ustadhata su'alan. So a girl is saying, sa'altu al-ustadhata su'alan. A girl is saying, I asked the female teacher a question. وأجابت, and she answered لي, for me, السؤال, the question. I asked the female teacher a question and she answered for me the question. سألت الأستاذة سؤالا وأجابت لي السؤال. وأجابت, there is no mention of the فاعل, but أجابت means she answered. So since she is not specified, it's not specified because it's understood from the sentence that it is the teacher who's answering the question. Sentence 47. سألني الأستاذ سؤالا عن رسول الله وأجبت السؤال. We see in this sentence using of the verb أجاب for I answered أجبت. And we also see another thing, سألني, سألني. سأل is فعل ماضي, he asked. يا is I, he asked me. I, يا is مفعول به. And but we're using the pronoun for I, which is e, the ya with a sukun. So it should be sa'ala e, but if you added the ya to the letter before it, lam, you lose the fatha sound, you use the fatha vowel in pronunciation from the verb, which is important to keep it there. Therefore, in order to keep the fatha sound on the lam, on the last letter of the verb, we insert an extra letter for no other reason, extra letter noon, for no other reason except to protect the presence of fatha on the last letter of the verb before. So this noon is called noon al-wiqaya, noon of prevention, because it prevents the disappearance of the sign of the verb before it. Sa'ala ni. The noon has no meaning except for preventing the sign. Sa'alani, he asked me. Who is he? Al-ustadhu. That's the fa'il. So the teacher asked me. Sa'alani al-ustadhu su'alan. The teacher asked me a question. An rasulillahi. About the messenger of Allah. And an is a harf al-jar, meaning about. The teacher asked me a question about the messenger of Allah. وَأَجَبْتُ السُّؤَالَ, and I answered the question. Sentence 48. سَأَلَنِي التَّاجِرُ سُؤَالًا عَنْ دُكَّانِهِ وَأَجَبْتُ سُؤَالَهُ وَأَجَبْتُ سُؤَالَهُ. سَأَلَنِي التَّاجِرُ, the businessman asked me, سُؤَالًا, a question, عن دكانه, about his shop. وأجبت, and I answered, سؤاله, his question. سؤال is مفعول به with a فتحة, and هو is the ضمير added as a مضاف إليه to سؤال before it. سألني التاجر سؤالا, the businessman asked me a question, عن دكانه, about his shop, وأجبت سؤاله, and I answered his question. The next sentence, 49, introduces two new verbs. طلب means he sought. طلب means to seek something. طلب, he sought something. And the other verb is أعطى. أعطى is a four-letter verb, and it means he gave something to someone. A'ta, he gave something to someone. Therefore, it has two maf'ulun bihi with it usually. Something to someone. Two different maf'ulun bihi. Talaba al-waladu al-qalama. The boy sought the pen. Min al-abi. Min al-abi, from the father. The boy sought the pen from the father. طلب الولد القلم من الأب وأعطى الأب الولد القلم. Notice the two مفعول به, الولد, first مفعول به, meaning who did he give it to the boy. The second مفعول به, القلم, the pen, which is what he gave to the boy. وأعطى الأب, the father gave الولد, the son, القلم, the pen. So the whole sentence reads, طلب الولد القلم من الأب, the boy sought the pen from the father. وأعطى الأب الولد القلم, and the father gave the boy the pen. So pay attention to the usage of the verb أعطى. Notice that it comes with two مفعول به. One of the two maf'ulun bihi, the first one, it's who you gave it to, and the second maf'ulun bihi is what you gave the person, that person. A'ta is he gave. A'taytu is I gave. Just like we had done earlier about salla, when you added the damir tu for I did the action, the ya with a sukun returns to its original pronunciation, so we say a'taytu, a'tayta, a'tayti. أعطت, and so on. We'll have a look at these in the sentences that follow. So sentence 49, طلب الولد القلم من الأبي. The boy sought the pen from the father. وأعطى الأب الولد القلم. And the father gave the boy the pen. Sentence 50, طلب الولد القلم من الأبي. Same as before, the boy sought the pen from the father. وأعطاه الأب القلم. أعطاه الأب القلم. Notice the sentence has the same meaning. Sentence 50 has the same meaning as sentence 49. But I put the sentence 50 there with one difference in writing, which is instead of re-mentioning the مفعولٌ به الولد, I used instead its pronoun هو, meaning him. And I used that pronoun as a مفعولٌ به. Instead of specifying once again الولد, I mentioned the pronoun هو. And the pronoun who, as I said earlier, does not sit in the sentence by itself. It has to be linked to another word. Therefore, since who here is a maf'ulun bihi, and maf'ulun bihi is related to a fi'l, therefore, the maf'ulun bihi who is added in writing to the fi'l before it. So we say, a'tahu, he gave him. He gave him. Al-abu is the fa'il, the doer of the action. And of course, it's coming after أعطاه, because أعطاه together is one word in writing. In terms of writing, it is one word, although there are two words, فعل and مفعول به, in there. وأعطاه الأب, the father gave him القلم, the pen. So, spend some time to realize the difference that both 49 and 50 have the same meaning, but in 50 we're using a pronoun, and how the pronoun here doesn't sit by itself, so it's added to the verb before it, because the maf'ulun bihi is related to the fi'l, so it's added to the verb in writing. Sentence 51, طلبت, meaning she sought. طلبت البنت, the girl sought, القلم, the pen, من الأبي, from the father. طلبت البنت القلم من الأبي. The girl sought the pen from the father. وأعطاها الأب القلم. And the father gave her the pen. أعطاها. Ha again is مفعول به. And ha is a ضمير, pronoun for she. So أعطاها, he gave her. Who is her? The bint, the daughter. And who gave? الأب. So أعطى is he gave. Notice أعطى is same as before. It means he gave. So who is the فاعل of he gave? الأب. So it means the father gave. And ha is the ضمير, the pronoun, for who did he give it to? The مفعول به. وأعطاها الأب القلم. And the father gave her the pen. Sentence 52. طلب الولد من الأم القلم. طلب الولد من الأم القلم. The boy sought from the mother the pen. The boy sought the pen from the mother. You can mention القلم before من الأم or after من الأم. القلم is the مفعول به of طلب, of the فعل طلب. طلب الولد القلم من الأم, or طلب الولد من الأم القلم. The boy sought the pen from the mother. وأعطته الأم القلم. وأعطته الأم القلم. And the mother gave him the pen. And the mother gave him the pen. Notice here, the verb is أعطت. أعطت is different to أعطى. أعطى, he gave. أعطت, she gave. So أعطت, she gave. Who is she? Let's have a look in the sentence if there is a noun that has a dhamma. Because if it has a dhamma, that means that's the doer of the action. So, أعطت, who is the doer? الأم, the mother. So the mother gave. Who did she give? Let's have a look at the مفعولٌ به. The مفعولٌ به is هو, meaning him. So, أعطته الأم, the mother gave him القلم, the pen. The mother gave him the pen. طلب الولد من الأم القلم. The boy sought from the mother the pen. وأعطته الأم القلم. And the mother gave him the pen. These sentences, the more you read them, the more you become easier with the usage of these types of sentences. Therefore, it's important for you to read these repeatedly. And the more you read it, inshallah, it will become easier for you to make sentences like this yourself by changing different words, but in exactly the same pattern. Again, it's good for you to have a tutor with you such that you can make some sentences and run them by your tutor and get the tutor to listen to them and give you some feedback and comments whether you were correct and how you would improve the sentence. Sentence 53. طلب الولد من الأم القلم. طلب الولد من الأم القلم. Same as before. The boy sought from the mother the pen. وأعطت الأم الولد القلم. And the mother gave the boy the pen. Sentence 53, this one, it is the same meaning as the one before 52. The only difference, I've used, instead of the pronoun who, I've used the actual word الولد as مفعول به. So compare the two sentences and notice that the meaning is exactly the same. Sentence 54, طلبت, meaning she sought. طلبت المرأة, the woman sought, الحقيبة, the bag. The woman sought the bag, من التاجر, from the businessman. The woman sought the bag from the businessman. وأعطاها التاجر الحقيبة. And the businessman gave her the bag. Notice again, pay attention carefully. The verb, is the verb أعطت? If the verb is أعطت, that means it's the woman who gave. But the verb is أعطى, which is he gave. أعطت, she gave. أعطى, he gave. So, he gave. Who gave? It is mentioned. التاجر, the businessman. So, the businessman gave. Ha is the ضمير for she. So, the businessman gave her, meaning the woman. What did he give her? Look for another مفعول به with a فتحة. الحقيبة, the bag. طلبت المرأة الحقيبة من التاجر. The woman sought the bag from the businessman. وأعطاها التاجر الحقيبة. And the businessman gave her the bag. On page 4, we see sentence 55. Continuing with the same two verbs because they're very important and showing you a variety of ways of using the same two verbs. Sentence 55, طلبت, I sought, طلبت الماء من أختي. I sought water from my sister. طلبت الماء من الأخت من أختي. I sought water from my sister. وأعطتني أختي الماء. And my sister gave me the water. Have a closer look at this sentence. أعطت means she gave. أعطت, she gave. Ni, the noon is noon al-wiqaya, which we had mentioned in the earlier sentence just before. So the noon is the noon al-wiqaya, which I had mentioned in the sentence earlier, which comes simply to protect the sign of the verb before that. Otherwise, a'tati would give it a different meaning. So a'tatni means she gave me. Who is she? It is mentioned after that, ukhti. So my sister gave me al-ma'a, the water. طلبت الماء من أختي. I sought the water from my sister. وأعطتني أختي الماء. And my sister gave me the water. Sentence 56. طلبت الدواء من الطبيب. I sought the medicine from the doctor. الدواء, medicine. I sought the medicine from the doctor. وأعطاني الطبيب الدواء. And the doctor gave me the medicine. Can you see how we used أعطى, he gave, and then we mentioned the فاعل after الطبيب with a ضمة. And we mentioned the مفعول به, the pronoun for it, إي. أعطاني, he gave me. Who is he? الطبيب. أعطاني الطبيب الدواء. The doctor gave me the medicine. Sentence 57, طلب مني التاجر المال. طلب مني التاجر المال. The businessman sought from me the wealth. طلب مني التاجر المال. The businessman sought from me the wealth. وأعطيته المال. And I gave him the wealth. طلب مني التاجر المال. The businessman sought from me the wealth. مني is two words joined together. من, from. Then another noon, which is noon al-wiqaya. And then e for I. مني means from me. طلب مني التاجر, meaning the businessman sought from me المال, the wealth. وأعطيته المال, and I gave him the wealth. 58. طلبت البنت. طلبت البنت, meaning the girl sought الدفتر مني. The girl sought the exercise book from me. وأعطيتها, and I gave her الدفتر, the exercise book. Notice أعطيت, I gave. Ha is the pronoun مفعول her, which is the first مفعول به. أعطيتها, I gave her. The second مفعول به is دفتر, meaning the exercise book. وأعطيتها, and I gave her the exercise book. So far we have finished about half of this document, or the number of sentences. So we are now on sentence 58 in page 4. I will take a pause from this recording now in order not to make it so long. And inshallah, in the next recording, I'll come back to do the remaining of the sentences of this document with the rest of the verbs.